So who have we got online, Gabby?
We have Becky Burr, Olga Cavalli, Chris Despain, Fernando España, Andre Philip, Byron Holland, Eric Iriarte, Johanny Eusebius, Paulus Niorenda, Patricia Poblete, Ron Sherwood, Dottis Fox, DeBlanc, Rudy Bansnick, Jan is trying to get, we're trying to get her online, but we have a problem with her. From staff, we've got Bart, and David Olive is joining us today. David, would you like to say something?
Well done so far, David. Brilliant.
Coming off mute, thank you very much, and thank you for having me attend. I'll just be here an observer. I usually follow these meetings through reports by Gabby and Bart, obviously, and through your notes, but I thought I would come in and see it live, so thank you very much.
We got apologies from Patrick Hossein.
Yeah, you missed Leslie out of your list, I think, Gabby.
Yeah, oh, sorry. My apologies. Leslie Cowell is here as well. She was an apology.
It was an apology in my mind, not an apology in reality.
I should stop digging, Chris.
I like being in a hole, Leslie. It's a nice view from down here. I think on that base, we're probably we're missing Hero and Youngham.
We're missing... Youngham, Hero, Jan, Nashwa, Ika, Mohammed,
okay.
And that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, in that case, given that it's 5 past, we should get started. The agenda is right here. For those of you who are trying to access the website, the CCNSA website, we're having a few problems apparently at the moment. I can't get to it, and I know that Gabby's having problems as well, so apologies, it's been reported, and we'll do our best to get it fixed.
Well, the message I get is about a security certificate. Is that the one you get?
No, I just get no resolution.
It's because of the security certificate.
It could well be. It's this internet thingy, complicated and difficult to deal with.
Hello, who just joined?
Hiro Hota has just joined.
Hi, Hiro.
Hi.
One of these days, if we get this interweb thing working properly, everything will be fine, but right now it's hard. Okay, the first item is the confirmation of minutes and the actions from the 8th of June and the 23rd of June. The minutes have been out, and any comments have already been made. Gabby, do you want to take us through the actions?
Just a moment. Can everybody who is not talking go on mute because we have an echo? Thank you.
Do you still have an echo?
No, not anymore. Somebody just joined.
Yeah, that was Rolando. Rolando Toledo just joined.
Okay.
And he was to have one with an echo, so he's muted.
Okay.
Hi, Rolando. That wasn't just me saying everything twice then. I was slightly concerned. Gabby, could you take us through the action items, please?
Shall I take you through all the actions or just the ones that I have any comment on?
Yeah, you've got any comment on, yeah.
Okay, so most of them have been done, but there are three actions that are kind of outstanding. First one is action 5303. It's the chair and Bart Buswinkle to gather information from various existing reports relevant for accountability and transparency review team. Input paper and send a summary to the council for consideration. And I don't think this has been done.
I think you're quite right, but I have absolutely no idea what it means.
Nor do I.
Well, actually, reading the minutes, it's saying that Bart Buswinkle suggested that we should gather input from existing reports and make a summary out of them and submit that as input to the accountability and transparency review team.
Okay. Well, that's not been done, and B, I think that the time has passed. So I'm not sure that there's anything left to do on that. The ATRT is busily beavering away. As I know, and we'll get to that a bit later. There isn't currently anything open for comment for us to put in. So, we did make comment We did make comments to the review team in our on a face-to-face meeting that we had in Brussels. So,
Chris, especially.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's two of us trying to speak then. I was just going to make the point that I think in that context, it was when the ATRT were looking for examples.
Yeah.
And I guess to our ATRT reps or rep, do you have sufficient examples or are you still looking for more from the CCs?
I think they've got sufficient. They've got sufficient examples. They took the discussion that we had with them in Brussels was noted, and it's part of the package of documentation. There's a full transcript of that meeting, and in fact every meeting, and a recording. So the examples that we gave have been certainly been noted. The three main things that are being used to for case studies. For the Accountability and Transparency Review Team are the new GTLD process, the GAC board interaction on XXX and the XXX review mechanism, not the actual decision itself, but the review mechanism. And the third one, which I can't at the moment remember, but those are being sort of case studied, but the review team itself is split up into four working groups, and all of the items that have been raised about decision-making processes, one of the main things that we talked about, for example, to them was the sudden disappearance of minutes on delegation and redelegation. All of that sort of stuff will be considered in the working team. So the short answer to your question would be no, I don't think we do need any more examples.
So that action has been superseded. Thank you.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
This is Becky.
Yes, Becky.
If I could just add, I think I'm not contradicting you, Chris, but just if there are people that have examples that haven't submitted them, my understanding is that the team was going to continue to receive things whether the comment period had closed or not. So it's not
that
like people are foreclosed.
You are quite right. If people want to send stuff in, then they're very welcome to do so. My gut feeling for what it's worth is that there's already so much to do between now and the end of December that there's plenty of meat already for the review team to be working on. But that shouldn't preclude us or anyone from putting in items if they want to do so. Anyone else? Okay, Gabby, what's the next one?
The next one is 5305, the CCNSO Secretariat to draft a charter for the CCTLD financial contributions to ICANN working group and submit to the Council for approval.
I have that on my computer. Bart has done some work on that, and I've done some work on it, but I'm not happy with it yet, and I will be getting it out to the Council as soon as I can, but it'll be in the next probably in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully it's not contentious and we'll simply be able to approve it on the list and then call for volunteers.
Okay. Just so you know, Jan just joined the call.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Chris.
And was there a third one of the third action item, Gabby?
The third action item was Gabriella Sittig to send the suggested changes to the SOP charter to the CCTLD community asking for comments. This has not yet been done because after some discussions between Bart and I and Byron, we thought that it would probably be better to have the council to have a look at it before sending it out to the community. This has not really been done yet.
Okay. Has it gone out to the – have we got it yet?
Yeah, it was sent.
It came out with your documents, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So could we maybe, perhaps Gabby, you could send it out again to the council separately as a separate email with a note saying, could we please have feedback and comment on this by a date? And
okay.
Then, we can get everybody to respond to that if they want to. Is that okay with everyone? Byron, are you comfortable with that?
I'm fine with that, yes.
Thank you. Okay, if everyone's all right with that, then that's the action item, which is good. Item two on the agenda is the response from Kevin Wilson to the various questions that we have asked in respect to the budget. Now, everyone hopefully is on our website. I don't propose at this stage that we necessarily need to respond to the response, because I think, having agreed that we're going to set up a working group to liaise closely with the relevant ICANN staff on finance, that it would be best if things are dealt with in that environment rather than formal letters bouncing back and forth. But I'm open to discussion on that. So does anybody want to talk to that particular point? Or are you comfortable that the working group will do that? Yes, sorry, who's that?
That was me, Chris. It's Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
I was just going to make the point that we're kind of calling the group financial contributions, but I guess if we're including, as I think we should, some examination of the financial element, that it should be a finance working group, in effect.
Yes, I agree. I think that's right. I think we should make sure that the charter of the working group is, one, to deal with, to liaise in respect to finance, and secondly, to deal specifically with the issue of contribution. Is that what you meant?
It is, because I think so far, really, the liaison's been with the strategic plan working group, and although a number of us on there are kind of financial anoraks, it's probably not the most appropriate place for those discussions.
No, I agree with that, and we've been trying to separate that out from that working group anyway, if we can, because there's enough to do on the strategic plan anyway without adding to the burden of that working group. So hopefully, once we've got the charter sorted out for this financial working group or finance working group, they'll be able to have meaningful discussions on both finances generally and contributions. I will make sure that the charter at least in part covers that issue. Anyone else? Okay. That brings us to the CCNSO review by items and our response. I'm not expecting that anybody will have looked at my notes in any great detail, but it's a starting point. We've got until the 15th of September to the comment period on the items report is open until the 15th of September, and obviously the CCNSO should, if at all possible, make a formal response or contribution to the public comment, and the starting point is that document. So two things. One, are there any comments or questions on it so far? And second thing, should we endeavour to, should we make it a council document and send it out to members and seek their support, or should we endeavour to get it as a members document, or is that just too hard? Any thoughts?
Could we make it a council document and then give members the opportunity to sign on?
Yes, I think that's right. I think if we tried to do it any other way, that would be too hard, especially in the time we've got. But I'd certainly like to have it agreed. I'd certainly like to have a document agreed by the council. And then what I suppose I'm saying is that if we do that, we need to do that relatively quickly if we're intending that not only will it go in as a council document, but will go out to members for them to endorse or not. So I guess it's really just a sort of encouragement to everybody to get back to me as soon as possible. Any questions or other comments on that, or can I just leave that people will provide input on the list ASAP?
I just had a brief comment, Chris. Say thank you very much for pulling that together. I thought it was a very good start. As you might imagine, I've got some comments to add to it, but I don't think there's anything that needs subtraction. I think it's a great basis for us just signing off on a document.
Thank you, Lizzie. I actually have a comment on the document myself, which is that having read it again, I'm actually not particularly comfortable about. There's a response in there that makes the suggestion that other SOs and ACs may be susceptible to stacking and capture. I'm not entirely sure if that's something we necessarily want to be saying, but apart from that, I'm quite comfortable with it. But I'm really encourage everybody, please, to read it and get back to me with comments so that we can get it sorted.
Chris, this is Bart. Given that the deadline is the 15th, would it be feasible for the council to respond by the end of this week, so you can finalise the document and we can send it out to the members for endorsement? Because otherwise, we really run out of time.
Thank you, Bart. I agree. If everyone's comfortable that I draw a line under the comments, say by next Monday, that would be fantastic, and that gives everybody basically a week, and then I can make changes and amendments as necessary, get it out, and then we can send it out to members.
Hi, Chris. This is Peter. Hi, everyone. Apologies for being late. Chris, we got some input from central members as well, and we're drafting our position. I will make sure that you get a copy of the draft, because we probably will not be have a final version by then.
Fantastic, Peter. Thank you. And obviously, there's no it's perfectly sensible that other like regional organisations may want to make their own comment. Individual CCs may want to make their own comment. But I would certainly like this document to be, in whatever form it finally ends up in, to be a council document. And then if members choose, as we said, to sign on, then that's really great. Okay. Good. Anyone else? Marvellous. That brings us then to item 4, which is the review teams. There are two review teams for which we have been asked to endorse possible members. In respect to the Who Is Review panel, the CCTLD community has one seat on that. And in respect to the Security and Stability Review Team, we have two seats on that. In the case of the Who Is Review panel, we have one volunteer, and that is Emily Taylor. In the case of the Security and Stability Review Team, we have three volunteers, Simon McCullough from Nominate, Andre Philip, council member, and Rodney Joffe from Newstar.us. What is supposed to happen is that the relevant SO, in this case CCNSO, should endorse as many candidates as it feels comfortable endorsing, and the selectors, who in the case of these particular review teams are Heather Dryden, who is the new chair of the GAC and CEO of ICANN, they choose from the people that we've endorsed. So it's open to us. In the case of the Who Is Review panel, it's open where we only have one volunteer, so if we're happy to endorse Emily, then that solves that issue. And in the case of the Security and Stability Review Team, it's perfectly fine and acceptable for us to endorse all three of those candidates if we wish to do so, and Rod and Heather can make their choice. Discussion. Comment.
It's Byron. Can I just ask, what is Emily doing these days?
She's consulting. She is still a member of the what's it called? The IGF multi-stakeholder advisory group. She's done some work for me on some IGF stuff, and she's doing other things as well. But I don't really know any more than that. There should be a document. I think Gabby, did we send out everybody's note things that they put in?
Yes, the CV was attached.
CV was attached, so that should be there. Any other questions or comments?
Chris, you had a note from me on this particular...
Yes, I did. Do you want me to deal with that, Leslie? Yes? Okay.
I think I need to declare a conflict, yeah.
Yes, I think you probably do. And all I have to do now is to find your note. Hang on.
I just want to stay in conflict as well, so...
Sorry, is that you, Peter?
No, that's me, Andre.
Oh, sorry, Andre. Hello.
Yeah, I just want to say the same. I'm in a conflict of interest, so I don't think I can comment.
Well, on the basis that you put your name forward, you mean?
Yeah. I'll not discuss.
Yes. Give me one second and I'll be with you. I'll be back with you. Hold on. Okay, so in respect to, can we take first then the Who Is Review team? We have one person volunteering, which is Emily, on behalf of the CCNSO, and we have to make a decision as to whether we endorse Emily or not. Andre, I don't think you have a conflict in respect to that. Leslie has asked me to put on the record that she is conflicted in relation to the candidate to Emily, and therefore she's not going to participate in the discussion, and she will abstain from the vote. Apart from that, specifically in respect to the Who Is Review team and endorsing Emily, are there any comments or questions before we move to decide whether to endorse her or not?
Chris, it's Byron again.
Yes.
And not to be thick or not that I have any issue with Emily, I'm just wondering, as a panelist on behalf of the CCNSO, if she's not specifically involved with any of the CCs, you know, is that an issue in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think it's an issue from that specific point of view. I think that she... clearly has an interest in this particular area, and obviously was involved with the CCTLD, and I don't think it's an issue as such from the point of view of her not currently being involved with the CCTLD, but I'm open to discuss it. Personally, I don't see it as being an issue. I think the stance we took on we've always taken on the review teams, we took it on the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, is that what we want to do as a CC community is to get who we think are the best people. Now, in this particular instance, of course, we only have one volunteer, so therefore, to an extent, it's not about making a choice between individuals. It's more about deciding whether we endorse the one person who's put their name forward or not. And I suppose it's open to us if we choose to do so to not endorse or B, to ask for more time, although I know that asking for more time would be desperately problematic for them because they have serious time constraints. I don't think it's a problem, Byron, but I accept the point.
Chris, this is Becky.
Yes,
I just think it's very important that we have someone. I mean, clearly Emily has been involved with CCs, and I think it's very important to have somebody on that review team who has the CC perspective. Unless there's something I'm missing, I think she has the background that would make her a very good contributor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to be clear, this is not about Emily. I would agree with everything you just said. It was more a question of, as a CC community, putting forward somebody who's not, albeit she has much experience in the space, currently part of it, and if that was problematic from the CC's perspective in any way. So really, my question almost has nothing to do with Emily, who I think is eminently capable. It's really about having somebody not from the community at this moment in time be that person for us. But if everybody, if there's no issue and people are comfortable, then it's likely a moot point.
Well, does anybody want to pick up on Byron's point?
Well, there's something I don't understand, and that's the conflicts of interest that people are stating about what are the, is it fair to ask what that is?
Well, in the case of Andre, he doesn't have a conflict of interest in respect to this one. He has a conflict of interest in respect to the next one because he's put his name forward. So quite clearly, he can't be involved in a discussion about whether we endorse him or not. In the case of the Who Is Review panel and Emily, the conflict arises from the circumstance that Emily used to work for Nominate and doesn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conflict, Dottie. Without going into a huge amount of unnecessary detail.
Well, maybe I should know the answer to this, but I don't. Is the Who Is still a tug of war between Americans and the rest of the world about whether there should be or shouldn't be detailed Who Is?
In a very broad brush outline, yes.
Well, why are we? I think we should have more than one person at least representing other point of view.
Too late for that now because we've gone past that point, I may or may not agree with you on that, but we have what we have. When we discussed this in, again, nothing to do with Emily as such, just people generally, when we discussed this in Brussels, we agreed or thought, perhaps, we didn't agree, but we thought that given the Who Is debate and given the history of Who Is, it would probably be sensible for the CC community, if at all possible, to be represented by somebody with legal experience who understood the privacy law, especially in respect to such privacy laws as the European privacy law, which has a significant effect on the debate on Who Is with law enforcement in the US and other territories. That was the kind of rough outline of the sort of person we might be interested in trying to get to volunteer. And that came from our discussion in Brussels. So from that point of view, I think there's a fit there with Emily. Anybody else? All right.
They're never going to agree on that, you know. It's never going to work.
Dottie?
What?
So I didn't catch that, sorry.
Oh, it's never going to work. I mean, they're not going to get agreement between those two bodies. I don't know why we're spending time on it.
Bad point. So let us not spend any more time on it then, eh? All right, well, if there are no other comments, last call. All right. So given that we know that Leslie is abstaining, can I ask if there are any objections to the council endorsing Emily as our candidate for the Who Is Review panel?
Chris, can I just ask, is this a resolution?
There will be a resolution, Gabby, yes. I think there needs to be, doesn't there?
Yes, then you need to ask someone to propose and second.
I'm getting there. I just don't want to put a resolution unless I'm sure that we're done with discussion and no one's going to be objecting.
Okay.
So on that basis then, would someone be prepared to propose the resolution that we endorse Emily Taylor as our whatever the right word is, candidate for the Who Is Review panel. Can I someone propose that for me, please?
Andre, I will do it.
Okay, I've got Andre and Becky, so that's a proposer and a seconder.
I'll second.
Yeah, gotcha. Thank you. Is anyone against that resolution? Okay. Is anyone, apart from Leslie, is anyone abstaining? Okay, good. So the resolution is passed. Thank you. The second one is the Security and Stability Review Team. Our options are basically to endorse all three candidates, Simon, Andre and Rodney, and let the choice be made by the selectors, or alternatively endorse two, or I suppose one, two of those candidates and have effectively the selectors have no choice. So, does anybody, apart from Andre, does anybody want to discuss that and talk about what they think we should do?
Chris, is Leslie.
Yes,
I
Leslie.
Have a slight conflict in the sense that one of the candidates is an employee of mine.
I was highly recommended then.
I was just going to say that. Actually, I think all three candidates are very good. I guess it would be nice on this occasion to give the a choice to the selectors, but I obviously have my own preferences.
I understand that. Look, the other SOs basically take the view that they put forward a slate, if you will, of endorsed candidates and then allow the choice to take place, and I don't think there's anything intrinsically wrong with that, where we have a circumstance where we've got three people I would argue to be extremely good candidates, and I'd personally hate to be in a position of saying no to any of them because I think all three of them will be perfectly fine.
I agree. That also gives the people choosing the ability to play to the strengths of the relevant members when you look at the constitution of the team overall.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that's right. Does anybody object to the concept then of us endorsing all three before we go to a formal resolution? Okay, good. In that case, then the resolution is that we endorse Simon McCullough, Andre Philip, and Rodney Joffe as prospective members of the Security and Stability Review Team. Do I have anyone against that resolution? No? Okay. Can you note, Gabby, that Andre is abstaining? Does anybody else want to abstain?
I abstain, yeah.
Yeah, that was you, Andre, right?
Yeah, that was me, sorry. Yeah,
you are abstained already.
Yep.
Okay, well, in that case, with the exception of Andre's abstention, that resolution is also passed.
Was there a proposal and a seconder for this?
Oh, for goodness sake. No, I forgot. Who would like to propose the resolution?
I'll propose it, Byron.
Thank you, Byron. Anyone want to second it?
Here with us.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Hero.
Thank you, Hero. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Sorry, Gabby.
No problem.
I know I'm really bad at this. Okay, so we have a proposer, a seconder. No one against. No abstention. Resolution passed. Fantastic. Good. Item number 6 is the Financial Contributions Working Group, which we have already discussed, so we don't need to talk about that.
Chris.
Yes, Bart, sorry.
You're missing out the bit on the replacement.
I am?
From Becky, a panelist on the ATRT.
Oh, okay. It's not actually under this bit on my agenda. I was going to deal with that under separate business.
Okay. No, that's fine. But
or any other business. But hey, no,
listen. Chris, then you have the working group update as well.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Okay.
Okay. I must have got a different version of the agenda then.
Then I'll forward you.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Becky, would you like to briefly just tell everybody what happened on the ATRT so that everyone is clear as to why you resigned?
Yes. When we put in the submission to the ATRT, I indicated on my conflict of interest disclosure that I represented ICM with respect to non-contested matters, but not with respect to the contested issues related to the XXX delegation. Subsequently to my appointment and participation, the board voted to accept two of the findings in the independent review panel conclusion and instructed staff to conduct due diligence with ICM to make sure it was still the entity that it had proposed, and then to negotiate a contract with ICM. ICM asked me to do that work. I contemplated not doing that work, notwithstanding the fact that I do not and did not and do not think that that was contested work, but I contemplated not doing that, and I decided it would really be unfair to ICM since I had, you know, developed significant amounts of expertise at their expense in this contract and the contract issues, and for them to be required to hire a new counsel and get that new counsel up to speed to do something that was basically not going to be contested was, to me, bordered on inappropriate and unethical behavior. So I amended my disclosure statement to say that I was specifically doing this work that I viewed to be uncontested. There was sufficient discomfort among the members of the team about that and whether it constituted a conflict that I decided it was better just to remove myself from that and let the group get on with real work as opposed to thinking about whether I had a conflict.
Okay, thank you, Becky. Any questions or comments about that? Okay, so what that's meant is that I'm now on the ATRT, and let me tell you, it's huge fun. So there's a lot of work to do and a lot of work going on, and that's all fine, and I'm still trying to deal with the issue that arose in respect to Becky, because it's a separate issue from the work of the ATRT, which obviously needs to carry on, and that's what's happening. Are there any comments or questions? Okay, good. Thank you, Barb. I've got the right agenda in front of me now, which is good. Item 5 is the working group updates. The first one is the jig. Bart, do you want to take that?
Is Jan on the call?
I'm sorry, Jan, you're there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry, Jan. Off you go. You take it.
Sure. I don't know if you noticed or not, we already posted the initial report and the interim report on single character issue. And the interim report is open for public comments. I think it's until September 7th or something. And for the variance issue, we're still working on the initial report. We already had a draft, but it's still under discussion because the variance issue is much more complicated than the first one. So basically, that's where we are now.
Thanks, Jan. And, of course, the variant issue also sits in the IDN-PDP working group one scope. So there's going to be some work, some crossover work done there, I should imagine, in respect to the work that the JRG is doing and the work that the PDP working group is doing. Okay. Any questions on the jig? Good. All right. So the next one is the IDN-PDP working group one. Bart, we've got a call coming up on that soon, haven't we? Or are we on a break?
We have to draft the document, and then we start organising that one.
That's right. So where we got to on that was in Brussels. We had several meetings of the working group, and the we talked about the definition of what an IDN is, got clear about that, which means that we got clear that, in fact, it's going to have to include ASCII plus, ASCII with accents, diacritics and all of that are going to have to be included because that is in the formal definition of what an IDN is. So we are currently redrafting the paper which was put out for comment prior to Brussels to take into account the comments and the discussions of the working group, and hopefully that paper will be available, will be put through the working group and then out for public comment relatively soon, although, of course, it's summer in Europe, so things move slightly more slowly. That's pretty much where we are, isn't it, Bart?
Yes, and we're going to start, and that's what you hinted on. We're going to start working on the variant management issue as well, because it's a matter of chicken and egg there between the technical community and the policy community.
Okay. Good.
That's part one, and you also promised...
Will you take part two? So what's going on?
Yes, you also promised that Chris hinted on the debate we had in Brussels to include Latin or even ASCII in the definition of IDNs. The agreement was to use the existing IDNA BIS definition of what is an IDN TLD. So there is still a question what to do with country territory names in ASCII, and the most probably the most vocal one on that in that respect is Norway or Norwich in Norwegian, whether or not that should be considered a CCTLD or not. And Chris, you and I are supposed to do a initial paper on what are the consequences of including or excluding country names, territory names in ASCII, or how it should be dealt with in future.
Yeah.
That was the second part.
The second part of
what we're supposed to do for the IDM working group.
Working group one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And what about working group two?
Working group two, we had our first call.
Membership, right?
Yeah. We had our first call last 2 weeks ago. In our next call, which will be in a couple of days or in 2 weeks, there will be an appointment of chairs and a first full discussion on the identified issues in Article 9 and the annexes, so the CCNSO bylaws and the annexes. So there are a couple of main issues there that flow from including IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO.
Yes, the main issue being how do you deal with membership when you've suddenly got more than one CC put in a territory?
Yep.
Do we have any questions about either of those? That's working group one or two on the IDN policy development process. Okay, good. The incident response working group, is there an update on that, Bart?
They're having their next call tomorrow, and they will finalize, hopefully, by Cartagena, their work. Hasn't been any meeting or calls past Brussels or post-Brussels.
Okay. The program working group, Andre, do you want to take that?
I don't have much things to report because we are waiting for this call to get the feedback or ideas from the council what should be on the next agenda. and we have a call after this call, so there's nothing to report really.
Okay, super, no problem. Byron, SOP, do you want to leave that to the item 7 on the agenda or do a report?
We might as well leave it till item 7.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Which is coming up almost immediately, given that item 6 is the Financial Contributions Working Group, which is already dealt with. So, just to recap, the Financial Contributions Working Group, I'm finalising my draft of the charter and we'll get that out as soon as possible. As soon as we have that approved, we can call for volunteers. And I'd like to try and get that rolling as quickly as we can, because it would be really good to do a fair bit of work with the working group, getting clear on things before we actually get to go to HANA and start having meetings with ICANN staff. Any comments on that? Okay, good. Item 7 is the SOP working group, and that's the endorsement of volunteers and the adoption of the charter. So, Byron, over to you.
Thanks. As everybody can see, there have been a number of people put themselves forward to participate in the working group. I certainly welcome that, and basically I'm looking for the endorsement of the volunteers. Just before that, though, we also have revised the charter based on discussions we've had in Brussels, and prior to that, I think that the changes capture and reflect the feedback that we received, though the red line version of changes has been sent out to the council with the agenda. So ideally we'd like to get some feedback from the council before we put it out to the broader community, which I think pretty much has already been discussed earlier in the call. So those are the two things going on right now. I would encourage and ask you to take a look at that red line version. I think it reflects what we heard, but if there's any comment or further feedback, I'd welcome that. And in terms of the list of volunteers, as mentioned, that was sent out in the agenda. There are seven folks who put themselves forward to be added to the working group, as well as one observer.
Are you comfortable with having seven additional people on the working group, Byron?
Well, my sense is it makes for a large group, but we have certainly had some challenges from time to time, even though we already have a number of people in the working group, getting folks corralled to actually do the work. So I think that having some additional horsepower and some perspective, the thing here that I like is it does bring a real cross-section of folks from regions that I'm certainly prepared to work with the larger group as a work in progress, and hopefully distribute the workload a little better than it has been thus far, as well as continue to get a broad cross-section of views and perspectives. So it is a little larger than I would like to see, but I think given the nature of the beast, I'm hopeful that this will be actually a better solution in terms of the workload.
Okay, so do you want us to approve the volunteers on this call?
Yes.
And unless there are any difficulties, my understanding is we can approve the charter as well, can we not?
I think unless there's a difficulty, assuming people have had enough time to actually take a look at it, we can... I would be happy to. I would be happy to approve it as it stands in the red line version.
Cool. All right. Well, let's go. Let's do that one by one. So the first thing is the endorsement of volunteers. The list of those has been sent out. Are there any comments on that before we move to see if we can approve them? Okay, so on that basis then, Gabby, do we need to formally approve them?
Yes, I think we do.
Okay, so the resolution would be that the SOP working group, the council approves the following additional members to the SOP working group, and they are as listed, but it's Jessica Calvo as an observer. I'm not sure we need to approve an observer, but anyway. Atushi Endo, Muhammad Ibrahim, Stefan Johnson, Debbie Monahan, Pablo Rodriguez, Gregorio Sagian, and Giovanni Sepia. Can I have a proposer for that resolution, please?
Byron,
would you like to?
Can I propose it? Yeah,
yes,
I'll propose it.
Leslie, will you second it?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Is anyone against that? Does anybody want to abstain? Cool. In that case, it's passed. Where are we with the charter? Has anyone got any questions or comments on the charter? Or are we happy to approve it? Any comments? Okay, in that case, I would put the resolution, suggest that the resolution be that the council approve the amended charter of the SOP working group, and I'd like someone to propose that, please.
Well, I would be happy to propose it.
Thank you, Byron. Can someone second that, please?
I would be happy to second.
Thank you, Becky. Anyone against? Any abstentions? Okay, in that case, the resolution is passed. So, Gabby, we will presumably, you and Byron will together will send a note out to the volunteers saying you're approved and go from there?
Yes. I do have a question, though. Byron, would you still like me to send this past amendment to the CCTLD community
for input or not? It would probably make sense at this juncture then to just send it as information as opposed to for input.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to. We discussed it in Brussels. I think it can go out as an approved new charter.
Okay.
Thank you very much, all.
Thank you, Byron. Item 8 on the agenda is the Wildcard Study Group. Discussions of recommendations are, how are we going to do this? Bart, have you any suggestions about how we deal with this particular issue?
So maybe it's easier to say there are four recommendations. Maybe I should, or we should resend it again, and either the council can adopt them and on the list.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable. I have not spent enough time working on it and thinking about it to actually take part in a meaningful discussion on it at the moment.
I've read it. I think there's only three recommendations, but
I think there's three, but
also it's just not very clear as to how they might be implemented, even if they're agreed. I guess there's some further thinking needed.
Yes, that's very clear. Say what they've done. The working group, what they've done is compared the different statements on wildcarding from the ASSEC and from ICANN staff. And summarize, or maybe Andre, you're more in a position to do it, as you're one of the co-chairs.
Yeah, I'm one of the co-chairs currently in a car, having no laptop in front of me, so I can't really remember all the recommendations.
Okay. Is your mum on the call?
No, she's not.
Unfortunately,
no. Okay, let me...
Can I suggest that the way forward is, I think the way forward with this is that I think Leslie's point's a very valid one, which is that, yes, there are a series of recommendations, but what isn't clear from the document is what we would do. I mean, we're going to say we approve the recommendations and then what? So what I think might be really useful is if you and Andre and Youngham did a simple paper for us that said, look, here are the recommendations. This is what we would suggest as a way forward.
Okay. Yep.
And that way we would actually be approving the recommendations with, if we do, with some steps that follow afterwards rather than simply approving them in a vacuum, which means they just disappear and are never dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Thanks, Andre. Is everyone okay with that? Anyone uncomfortable with that? Okay, excellent. Good. The next item is the DNS Search Charter Drafting Group Endorsement of Volunteers. This is important because the rest of the community, the GNSO and the ALAC, etc., are waiting for us now to start work on this. The volunteers we have currently are listed there. There's Jay Daly, Luis, Diego Espinoza, Andre, Hiro, Hang Sang Lee, Jorg Schweiger from Germany, who's the chair of our incident response working group, and Tanya Ling from China, and I would also be on this. This is just the charter drafting group. It really is just a case, I think, of approving the volunteers and letting us get on with drafting the charter. Does anybody have a problem with with approving those volunteers? Okay, good. Gabby, what's the deal with this? Do we need to...
Yes, formally. Proposer instead of seconder.
Okay, that's fine. So can someone please propose that we approve those people as volunteers? Don't all rush at once.
So moved.
Thank you, Dottie.
I second.
Thank you, Becky. All right, anyone against? All right, well, in that case, what we're going to do is we will send a note out in the next few days, but won't we, to the volunteers and set up to let them know that they're on the charter drafting group.
Yep.
And then the first step will be for me and Chuck and Cheryl Langdon-Orr to have a quick call to actually work out the ground rules and get this charter drafted as quickly as possible.
Okay. Yes, and then we will, in the meantime, set up the working group list and everything else.
Yes. Could we make sure, however, that we refer to this not as the DNS cert charter, but the whatever it was we called it in Brussels, which was the Security and Stability...
Review team.
Review. What was that? Sorry, analysis, wasn't it, Leslie?
Yeah.
Yeah, analysis
okay.
Working group.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the DNS charter. Excellent. And that brings us to item 10, which is the council working group. Now, okay, yes. Now, when we had our council meeting on the Sunday in Brussels with Patrick, one of the things that we agreed to do was to set up this is not a formal working group, but to have an informal telephone meeting to follow up from our discussions in Brussels, so that we could continue the work with shaping the shape of the CCNSO from the point of view of chair's role, vice chair's role, and so on. I don't think this needs to be a formal working group. What I'd like to suggest is that we set aside a separate teleconference at the usual time, now-ish, that is not a formal council meeting but is a working group meeting so that we can discuss the methodology of adjustments to the roles of chair and vice chair. Does that make sense, following on from what we talked about in Brussels? Anybody think that's wrong? Well, in that case, everybody must think it's right. Good. So, Bart, can you and Gabby perhaps organise to send out a note and see if we can get a date, perhaps sometime in September when people are available?
Yeah, the question is this a working group, say, that crosses my mind, is this for the full council or just, say, volunteers from the council who want to participate?
I don't know, that's an extremely good question. What do we think about that? Do we need to have everyone on a call, or could we set up a small team of people, maybe five or six people who could do this? Would that be better? Reporting back to the council, obviously. What do the vice chairs think? Byron, you're the only one on the call. What do you think?
It seems to me that the smaller group to start with would be the more efficient and better way, and obviously reporting back to the council itself for final determination.
Okay. So could I nominate some people for that? If we think that's a good idea, and I think it probably is, could we maybe reach out to a few of us who've been around perhaps for quite a while and perhaps just put a small group of five or six together and maybe do that over the next week or so and then have a call and then come back to everybody? Is that acceptable? I take it that it is. Okay, so Bart, can you and I work on that with Byron perhaps over the next few days and see if we can reach out, maybe get six volunteers to just spend a bit of time working on how we might structure the roles of chairs and vice chairs?
Yes, and I think within if you look at the notes from the council workshop, there is enough meat already to set the direction for this small group.
Excellent. Good. Thank you. All right, that's that one. 11 is nominations and elections. We have three to deal with. The first one is the council nominations, elections, approval of the timeline and the election manager. I think that's been sent out to everybody. Everybody should have had a copy of that. Gabby, just very quickly, what are the dates for that and what do we need to do? We need to approve you as the election manager and approve the timeline, yeah?
Yeah, so if for the council nominations, they would start on the 31st of August and end on the 30th of September, and if we need a vote, then it would start on the 5th of October, so 5th of October till the 28th of October. That's for the council nominations.
Okay.
Is that for council? Is that for the March beginning period?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's right, Dottie. So what that means is that we get that done. Our internal rules and procedures mean that we get this stuff done fairly early. And normally, of course, it seems slightly earlier this time because the ICANN meeting is late. The third meeting this year is much later than it would normally be. But irrespective of that, our internal guidelines say that we do that. That's the timing that we use. So do we know whose terms are up this time, Gabby?
Yeah, that's Mohamed El-Bashir, Hiro Hotta, Andre Philip, Patrick Hossein, and Dottie Sparks-DeBlanc.
Ah, okay. So does anyone have a problem with just approving the timeline, the nomination, and appointing Gabby as the election manager? Okay. So, Gabby, does that need to be a resolution, or can we just approve that?
You can just approve me.
Consider yourself approved. Okay. That's excellent. The second one is the board nominations, and Gabby, again, just briefly, the timeline.
That would start on the 15th of September and go to the entire process would go to the 15th of November if there is the need for voting. Then the vote would start mid-October.
Okay. So when would the call be?
15th of September.
Okay, excellent. Are there any comments on that one? This is for the one seat on the board which expires at the May, I think, of next year.
Chris, I had a question, and I may have forgot. What happened to the question that we directed to John Jeffrey regarding terms of the current
There is currently, I have an answer unofficially, which I'll get to in a second, but there is currently no official answer, and that's because I've said at the moment, well, let's leave it at the unofficial answer until I come back to you and say, give me an official answer. The situation is that John believes that the first term of both of our appointments to the board originally, which was Demi and Peter, was filling a vacancy and therefore doesn't count as a term. So he believes that, under his interpretation of the bylaws, that it would be open to Peter to stand again for another term. He also, and I said to him, just to be so everyone's clear, I said to him, so would that mean then, if, in your view, if we had appointed Peter to the board at a time that meant that his first term was 2 years and 11 months, that would not still not have counted? In other words, the length of the term is not relevant. It's the fact that it's filling a vacancy. And his response to that was, yes, I believe that it's a vacancy. Now, I don't agree with him, but it seems to me that there's little point in making a battle out of it, given that it's his interpretation of the ICANN bylaws, and he's the ICANN General Counsel. So what that means is that if we ask him to provide us with a formal opinion, that is what it will say. And unless we disagree with that, and we might agree, don't know. But I personally, that's not my personal interpretation, but that doesn't mean I'm right. We end up in a fight for no good reason, when it's probably just as easy to say, well, if Peter wants to stand again and others stand against him, we have an election. But that's where I've got to with it.
Okay, thank you.
Does anyone have any questions or comments about that?
Well, the the standard term would then be how long?
Well, the term is 3 years, Dottie, and there is a term limit of three terms. But vacancies don't count. So what that would mean is that if John's interpretation is correct, then that means that the first term doesn't count because it was filling a vacancy. Now, I'm really happy to have this discussion with anybody who wants to have it, and maybe it's better to have it not, you know, on a council call. But my strong personal view, with my lawyer's hat on, is that that's not correct, because you can't have a vacancy unless you have a position in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
A vacancy arises when someone resigns or dies, but it can't exist in a vacuum. And until such time as the first appointment of the CCN, given that the CCNSO itself didn't exist, it's impossible for me. I don't understand how it's possible for a vacancy to exist. But it's a matter of legal interpretation, and I can't really see much to be gained by getting into a fight about it, unless the council views it differently.
Well, does anybody have a recent update on what Peter's position is?
No, that's a matter for Peter. But my position, my personal position, is that I will stand for the board.
Okay.
And I'm comfortable that if that turns out, if that ends up being an election battle between, I mean, there may be many other people who want to stand for the board, and that's obviously a matter for them. But if it ends up being an election battle between me and Peter, then so be it.
Well, at our last meeting, he said he wasn't going to stand for re-election.
Well, that may well be so, Dottie, but I don't know.
Hmm.
I guess we'll find out when we make a call for nominations, hey?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is anyone happy to talk about this as long as people want to?
Does that happen?
We make the call on the 15th of September, does he?
15th of September, okay.
Yeah. And how long is the call open for, Gabby?
Well, if there's more than one candidate, it will go for board voting, and the voting closes on the 15th.
How long is the call for nominations open for?
It's 1 month.
Okay, fine. And it's proposed and seconded, presumably.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Can we approve Gabby as the election manager and approve the timeline? Anyone object? Okay, fantastic. Any more discussion on the general issue rather than just on the timeline itself or the election manager?
Chris.
Yes, Jen.
So the timeline is we're going to open for the call on 15th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the deadline.
Yes, no, that's when the call will open.
Okay. And it will open for a month, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
I think it said 6th of October on the revised agenda.
Okay. Gabby, is that correct?
Could be. I don't have the exact... It could be because the candidates need 1 week for approval. So, yes, I'm sorry, that would be three weeks probably.
Okay. All right.
Just trying
Any
to be precise.
Other... That would be good. It would be useful if we all knew at the time. All right. Any other comments on that particular issue? All right. Well, let's move on then to the nominating committee. Gabby, what's the deal on that one?
Yes. Margarita is currently representing the CCNSO to the NOMCOM. Her term expires at the just before the Cartagena meeting, so we needed to find another representative. And it's for 1 year, and then you can be re-elected for another year, and she has been re-elected for 2 years in total now. So I made a call about 2 weeks ago, and we have three volunteers so far. It's Giovanni Sepia, Mohammed Ibrahim, and Christopher Toe. The call ends next week on the 25th, and since we have more than one volunteer, this will go to the council for voting on the email list.
Yeah, this is not a members' election. This is up to us, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the council.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we don't need to do anything today?
No.
Okay, excellent.
We might wish to ask those candidates, therefore, to put in a brief statement about their suitability if we have a choice.
What an excellent idea. Gabby, can you organise that, do you think, once we're closed?
Sure, I'll do that.
Ask them if they would be kind enough to send us a statement of why they think they're the best person for the job. All right, marvellous. That takes us to item 12 on the agenda, which is the restructuring of the CCNSO website. I guess, Gabby, that's over to you.
Yeah, so you know that we've been working on a new website for a while now. It was stalled for a bit because we had to wait for the new ICANN financial year to start so that we knew how much money we had for it. So we have now started our work again on that, and there is already a website up actually, but it's full of mistakes, so I didn't send out the link for you because we want to fix them first, but we will fix that, and probably within the next few weeks we will provide you with the URL and we'll ask you to go in and have a look and come back with comments. And just so you know, we are launching it in two phases, phase one and phase two. The first phase is just general restructure of the content. Phase two will add some more technical features to it. For instance, the calendar will probably be able to import what's on the calendar to your computers, to your telephones. And also, we're probably going to work on some kind of login function, because when we conducted the interviews for this website, many people said they would like to have some kind of login function where they could have, for instance, a chat on certain issues that would not be that other people could not see, or an address book, for instance, from people, community members or presenters and so on. But we don't really know whether this login function would be for the CCTLD community or for CCNSO members. That's something that we still have to figure out. But anyway, this is phase two, and that's not going to be happening this year. This is something for next year. But that's where we stand with the website right now. So within a few weeks, you should just know that we will send out a URL for you to check.
Thanks.
That's all.
Thanks, Gabby. And anyone got any questions or comments on that? Okay. That then brings us to Lucky 13, which is the liaison updates. Gabby, we have those, I believe. Ron, have you got anything to report that you want to talk about?
No, nothing beyond what I sent in the report.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that. And any questions on Ron's report?
I had a comment on Ron's report. Chris, it highlighted the work that's been going on the registrar accreditation agreement for me, which I know is much more of a GTLD matter. But I wondered whether it might be useful to fellow CC managers to maybe have a session on this in Cartagena with the possibility that changes to that agreement and also the issues around greater transparency on registered name holders may well come in our direction if it's to become formal GTLD policy.
Who would we have that with, do you think?
I don't know, but just seeing the statement has prompted me that, you know, that's something that we've not really been very well connected to unless I've missed it.
No, you haven't missed it. Well, thank you. That's useful because apart from anything else, that brings us to the question of some input for Andre and Gabby about are there any particular sessions that we want to have cast into the agenda for Cartagena along with all the usual stuff. So that would certainly be one of them. Gabby, would you take a note of that and perhaps we could have a discussion? Maybe Bart and you and Andre could think about that.
Yes, that's done.
And are there any other councillors who want to raise any topics or issues that they want to see on the agenda? Obviously, on the agenda will be the IDN PDP in some form or another. There will also be the charter drafting working group will have finished its, hopefully have a charter which we may have approved, etc. But are there other anything that we think we definitely want to have on the agenda outside of, you know, perhaps what we could call ordinary items in respect to Cartagena? Okay. In that case, I guess, Bart, you know pretty much what is on the plate at the moment. So between you and Gabby and Andre, you should be able to put it together, yeah?
Yes. We will send out a draft as quickly as possible.
Okay. All right. Is there any other business?
Sorry, can I just say that I had an email from Han Chuan Lee. He's sending his apologies. He's stuck in a traffic jam.
Sorry, Gabby, I didn't hear that. Could you say that again?
Han Chuan Lee sends his apologies. He's stuck in a traffic jam.
Ah, well, there you go. He sent us a note, though, didn't he?
He did.
He did. Excellent. All right. Anything else? Any other business? When is our next call, Gabby?
Yeah, I think on the 21st of September. And I have one item for any other business.
Okay, go ahead.
And that's about the travel funding applications. The travel funding applications end this Friday. And I'm still waiting for a reply from the councillors from the North American and the Asia-Pacific region whether they like to fund anyone amongst themselves. And secondly, we actually had less applicants than usual. We had in total 9 applications. And so if you know anyone from your region that you think should be funded, please let them know so that they can still apply until this Friday.
Don't say that too loudly. Don't forget David Olive's on the call. So, David's going to want to save some money. Do we have... I thought Youngham was going to take the funding for the Asia-Pacific. Gabby, did she not send you a note?
I didn't have any final notes on that, no.
Okay, I'll chase that up.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, Dottie.
Do you know where the next meeting in March is going to be? Or maybe?
North America.
North America, okay.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't know where, but rumors abound. Las Vegas, San Francisco, Virgin Islands.
Sounds good to me.
I still think your cruise ship idea is the best one, Dottie.
No, I get travel sick. Especially on
everybody. But if they have stabilizers, they don't move around.
Yeah. Yeah, the ship won't actually go anywhere, Leslie. It'll be moored in the harbour.
That's an unfortunate analogy, though, don't you think?
No, it was intended. Anything else, everyone? All right. Well, thank you all very much indeed. It's been a joy as always, and I'll talk to you all very soon.
Thank you, Chris.
Everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Cheers.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Chris. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.